the other side. I have learnt that equality may not mean freedom, and freedom may not mean liberation. You can vote, my friend, and have no democracy. So said Benjamin Zephaniah, a black British poet, in Having a Word. This election may differ from the past dozen or so that has gone before, or it may be strikingly similar. That's because in any given presidential election, roughly half of the eligible electorate even bothers to vote. There are, of course, many reasons for this reticence to participate. But in numerical terms, that means roughly 100 million men and women don't bother. Thus, the major corporate parties split up the other 100 million, and he, it's always a he, isn't it, who garners 51% or more of that slice, gets to keep all the marbles and announce victory. That's an odd notion of democracy, isn't it? That majority really amounts to less than 25% of the national electorate. For example, during the 2000 presidential campaign, Democrat Al Gore received 48,971,067 votes. The Republican candidate, George W. Bush, received 48,779,508 votes. The question is, in this nation that boasts of its mission to spread democracy, why aren't there so few folks who vote? Since 1968, the Humphrey-Nixon race, there has not been a presidential election where over 60% of the voting age population participated. In fact, even then, in 68, it was 60.9%. It seems that simple cynicism must play some part in this process. People have little trust in politicians. Some of this is undoubtedly a reaction to the Watergate scandals of the early 70s, but that can't explain it all. There are millions of young folks for whom 1973 is ancient history, and we might as well be referring to the Civil War. For them, as well as many older folks, the prospect of voting is a losing gambit. They feel, with some justification, that there is little or nothing to vote for. Nor is this just an American thing. As journalist Richard Swift has noted in his The No-Nonsense Guide to Democracy, that the decline in voter participation has spread beyond North America. In the U.S., less than 50% of the electorate bothers to vote, and the last Canadian elections witnessed the lowest turnout in the country's history. Swift adds, a study of 15 Western European countries found that membership in political parties has declined almost a third, from 8.2% of the electorate in the early 1980s to 5.2% by the mid-1990s. He also informs us that strong percentages in Latin American countries expressed significant dissatisfaction with what their nations called democracy. One wonders, how long will it be before we see these Western trends repeated in the Middle East? Modern democracies are, in a sense, false democracies, where the state represents those who are able to purchase their representation. Again, Swift tells us, in critiquing the big brokerage parties, like the Dems and the Pubs in the U.S., Congress in India, liberal Dems in Japan, for example, that such parties have loose ideological commitments and use a vaguely populist rhetoric, often of the left, while campaigning. How they campaign, however, has little to do with how they rule once in power. Using words like bipartisanship, they sell their souls to the wealthy and use the machinery of the state to serve those that can afford them. In the name of a democracy, many countries empower what one British critic has called an elective dictatorship. For Free Speech Radio News, from Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio